We want to thank the Lord for being back in his house this morning, and appreciate Sunday school. Appreciate Brother Jay's teaching, and it's good to be here, and we appreciate all the fellowship we've had already, and we've got friends and visitors that have come, and we want to say thank the Lord for you, and thank you for being willing to come and make the effort to be here. And it's just such a blessing. We've got folks, family that hasn't been able to be here for a long time that's come, and we just, our hearts are just thrilled and blessed to see everybody here this morning. And I have a verse of scripture that's really on my heart that I want to share. And I want you to listen to this. And said, this is in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews in verse 16. Let us therefore boldly come unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that stood out to me. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. How do you come boldly to the throne of grace? You come by faith. Trust the Lord. When God speaks to you and God gets your attention, don't hesitate or put it off or say, I'm going to wait or maybe later. But come boldly. Come by faith to the Lord. When we come to the Lord by faith, when we come boldly to him, he helps us. He never fails. And so, let's be willing to come to him boldly today. Let's all stand for just a moment of prayer. Lord, we come to you today, and God, we pray from the depths of our heart. We pray for this service. God, we pray for everything. God, we pray for the singing, the preaching. Lord, whatever it is, and we ask you that you just touch people's hearts and touch people powerfully, God, with your Holy Spirit. And God, thank you for letting us have Cooper on our heart to preach this morning and asking him to preach. We want to pray for Cooper this morning. God, just bless him and use him. Give him great freedom and great power to preach your word this morning. God, we just ask your blessings, and we praise you in Jesus' name, and amen.
Page 112.
Sights of that city and all that night.
132.
Standing by the river, looking near.
173.
Amen. I want to say once again, it's good to be here. Glad to have everyone that's here, and we appreciate that choir singing. I'm glad for what I'm looking for beyond this life that the choir's been singing about. I like it down here. I appreciate all the blessings God's given me, but I'm looking forward to that place called heaven. Praise the Lord this morning. Let's all stand for just a moment. If you have unspoken requests, just show it by raising your hand. If you got a request on your heart to make, go ahead and say what's on your heart. Just follow the Lord. Let's pray for the lost this morning. Pray for those that have spiritual problems in their life. The worst problem you can have is to be lost. But even if you're saved, if you're not where God wants you to be, that's a spiritual problem. And let's pray for those folks that God would touch their hearts and that they'd respond to God's love. And like the scripture I read, that they would boldly approach the throne of grace. Come by faith and let God help you. And I already mentioned when I prayed earlier, pray for Brother Cooper Roberts to preach this morning. And I thought I was going to be gone, thought I was going to be on vacation. But then when Brother Danny Magg passed on and I changed my plans, I had asked Cooper to take care of service this morning, asked Bob Padgett to take care of service this evening. God still got on my heart to use those two men. I'd ask them to preach for us, and I'm glad to be here. But I want to back them, open up and back them and pray for them. And we'll give you more details on the arrangements of Danny's funeral and his visitation and everything a little later. But right now, pray for this service. Any other requests? Amen. Amen. Good. Amen. Appreciate that. All right. Someone else? Amen. Amen. Boy, it touched my heart. In case you didn't hear, Brother Carl, he said he's got, him and Imogene's got grandkids not saved, so really pray for them. And boy, it touched my heart when he said that. And so, church, let's really help them pray. Someone else? We appreciate Brother Jim being here. We'd met him at Happy Days and visit with him, and some of the fellows invited him to come to church, and he said he'd come, and he's here this morning. And as you might have heard him say, his wife recently passed on, and so pray for Brother Jim this morning. The Lord's able to help us even through our grief and our pain. Anyone else? Yeah.
Happy. Ever since I was a little boy, Carl and you, Billy Ray, have been in this thing fighting with all of our lost people. And it blesses my heart to see Carl still doing it
yeah.
at his age.
Amen.
I hope and pray that when I get to be that age, if I get to make it that far, I'd still be working for the Lord the way you fellas
have. Amen. Thank the Lord for that testimony. It touched my heart. We need to be about the Father's business. Someone else. I believe with all my heart somebody can get saved here this morning if they follow the Lord. Any other requests before we pray? Remember that. Yeah. I understand. Amen. Pray for Arnold's grandson and his family. Anyone else? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen. 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 Remember those requests, great requests. Pray for that vacation Bible school week after next. Any others? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Please remember that. Any others? All right. If not, we're going to ask Brother Bob Morrison to lead us in prayer. For that prayer. Keep praying. Please keep praying. And if somebody's got a song on your heart to sing special, just come right now. Obey the Lord. Sing what's on your heart. Anybody got something to say? Whatever you got to do that the Lord's give you, do that. Anybody got anything? Sure good to be here. Good spirit here. What a blessing. It'd be so easy to take this for granted. It'd be so sad and foolish to do that. We need to be aware of the blessings that God's give us for have a place like this to come to worship. Praise God. We need to thank Him from the depths of our heart. How precious it is. And now, anybody have a song? If you do, you're welcome. I believe they're going to come. Let's pray for them while they're coming. Please obey the Lord.
There's a place just out in front of us, I know will surely come. The eastern sky will open wide, revealing God's dear Son. And I know from here to heaven is but a twinkling of an eye. But in the midst of his glory, we'll hear the sweetest cry. Welcome home. Everywhere you look are friends. Oh, the greetings will be precious from those we've loved so dear, but no mortal man will ever hear the likes of when we hear.
Welcome home.
My soul so long ago. Over there we'll be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Our Savior will be shouting, welcome home, child, welcome home.
Welcome home.
Appreciate that good song, Welcome Home. Good to be here. Anybody else got a song on your heart? I believe we've got another. Let's really pray for them while they come. And I appreciate how the Lord's moving. Just pray and listen.
skeptics, they say, there is no way the blood of Jesus could set a man free.
Bless the Lord. Yep.
Oh, but they just don't know.
Amen.
They just can't see what this blood has done for me. It took a life that was broken, made it whole once again. Took a soul that was bound and set it free. What Jesus' blood did for me. It took a poor lost sinner, made me royalty, an heir and a child of the King. He put a song in my heart, peace this world cannot see. Look what this blood did for me. It took a life that was broken, made it whole once again. Took a soul found and set it free. So when the world tries to tell me there's no way this could be, I say just look what Jesus' blood did for me. So when the world tries to tell no way this could be, I say just look what Jesus' blood did for me.
Lord, for this good song. Glad of what the blood did for me. Anybody else feel like singing? If not, you pray real earnestly. Give your undivided attention. Pray from the very depths of your heart. And yeah, we're going to turn over to Brother Cooper.
So I'm honored and glad to be here today. I'm glad for what Jesus' blood has done for me. Thank God for bloodshed. I think it was last Easter, there was a popular church in America. They announced that during Easter services to be welcoming, they were going to make no mention of bloodshed or of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I say this today, without the bloodshed, we have no Christianity. If all we sing of is heaven but no bloodshed, we're missing the point. Bloodshed is the avenue to heaven today. Can I say that? That bloodshed is the way. Jesus told Thomas, he said, "Behold, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I just want to remind you today for just a moment, Jesus Christ is not a way, but he is the way. He is the only way. I want to read today Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 32. You pray with us for just a few moments. Believe this is where God would have us to be. And I don't believe God does anything for accident or without reason. But certainly today, I would love to tell you of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And love to tell you how good it is to know that I'm saved by the grace of God. And there's nothing that I could do, dear sir, to save you. But God has done everything that is needed to be done for you to be saved. God has done the work. Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 32. I'll ask you this today. As we read this scripture, it is easy to grow numb to things we repeat in the Bible all the time. It is easy to grow numb. But as we read the story of the crucifixion, I would encourage you today to understand what is happening, to realize what is happening. This is the very Son of God hanging on a cross of Calvary, hung between the heavens and between the earth, making mediation between God and man. Would you realize that today and endeavor with us to pray for just a few moments? Luke chapter number 23, verse number 32 says this, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." I'm interested today in verse number 34. We get the setting of the scene, I believe, and we all know the place in Scripture we're arriving to. And this has been on my mind and on my heart all week. Verse number 34 says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, cast lots." Let me just read that again. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." If I could give you a title or a subject today, it would be this: The Pleading Christ. The pleading Christ. We arrive to a place of Scripture, and we all know the story of the crucifixion. Anybody that's grown up in America even knows the story of the crucifixion. They know the story that God sent His very best Son to die on a cross of Calvary. But I want to say for just a few moments today, church and people that have gathered here, visitors, I'm glad you're here. But I want to say this for just a few moments today, that the cross of Calvary is bigger than any tattoo. It is bigger than any necklace around your neck. It is bigger than anything you or I could conjure up. When we come to the cross of Calvary, I believe today that we must understand that this is life or death. The cross of Calvary is the place where sinners are set free. The cross of Calvary is the place where punishment is purchased, where punishment is taken from you and I. The cross of Calvary today means something more than my very next breath of air. The cross of Calvary is my lifeblood today. When we come to the cross of Calvary, I believe we ought to wake up and realize today that the cross is our very lifeblood. It is the reason that I'm going to heaven today. It is not because I'm something special, but it is because Jesus Christ hung upon a cross of Calvary. When we come to the cross of Calvary, I'd encourage you today to realize and to let tears come in your eyes to know that God loved us enough to send His Son to a cross of Calvary. I want to remind you today for just a few moments that Calvary is bigger than you. Calvary is bigger than me, but Calvary is all about Jesus Christ, the very Son of a living God today. It is bigger than a cross on your neck. It is bigger than a tattoo. It is bigger than any tagline you could come up with. But the cross of Calvary today is the very breath that is in my lungs. The cross of Calvary is grace from an almighty holy God today. The cross of Calvary should mean something to you and I. And I believe that wholeheartedly. If we walk in our day-to-day lives and the cross means nothing, but we want to rejoice in heaven, if we don't have tears over the cross of Calvary, but we have tears over heaven, I want to say, you're just a bunch of tickling ears. You're missing the point. If all we ever rejoice in is heaven and we never shed a tear for the cross of Calvary, I'd say you better check what you got today, dear sir. It was because He loved me that my Savior died on a cross, was crucified. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. I want to say today, dear sir, that the cross is my treasure. The cross is my life. So the cross is my everything. I don't have much in life, but this I know, that the very Son of God hung on a cross of Calvary. When I wake up in the morning, I can realize that Jesus Christ hung on that very cross. Can I say today, dear sir, that being saved does not mean that you wear a cross around your neck. Being saved does not mean that you even know of the cross of Calvary. That being saved is to know that I am crucified with Christ, that the old man has died away and there is a new man living on the inside of me. Dear sir, the cross of Calvary is more than just some symbol. It is more than something we've just grown numb to, but I hope you realize today that the cross of Calvary is a place of bloodshed.
we come to the cross today and understanding that there in verse number 32, it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. I want you to notice today that the Bible tells us that they were led, Christ with two others, to be put to death. Can I say that this day and this hour of Calvary is one that did not catch God by surprise? No, sir. I believe that when the world was formed, before the world was ever formed, God knew that Jesus Christ was going to come to die a death on the cross of Calvary. I believe that as man fell in the garden and Adam and Eve sinned that day, and God looked and saw that they were naked, they knew they were naked. The Bible tells us that they took clothes, or they took lambskin, I believe it was, and they covered themselves to hide their nakedness. I believe all throughout the Bible you'll find a picture of Calvary. You'll find a picture of the bloodshed of the cross. You'll find a picture of Christ covering being put on you and I. We go on a little bit further, and we go into the children of Israel in Egypt, and there was that day when God had told Moses that he was going to slew the firstborn of Egypt, and he was going to take them and murder the firstborn of every house, that the death angel was going to pass over, and he told them to take the blood and to put it on the doorpost, and when the death angel saw it, he would pass over. I want to say today, dear sir, that when we arrive to Calvary, we must understand that this is the most important hour in all of humanity, that I don't care about what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, dear sir. I don't care about the day the Cold War ended. I don't care about the day that the Iraq War was over, but dear sir, we're arriving to an hour and to a place that is the culminating point of all humanity. It is the most important hour. It is not a hour, but it is the hour today. It is the matter of life and death. It is the matter of heaven or hell, and I'm glad today that God knew exactly what he was doing on the cross of Calvary. We come to Calvary today understanding that we know we're not worthy, that we were justified to die with the other criminals there that day. We know that the Bible tells us that just before this, Jesus had been put on a mock trial, that he had been sat with Barabbas, a mighty criminal of the day. He had been sat with Barabbas and with two other criminals, and the Jews of the day were asked, who do you want us to release? It was custom in that day that at the day of crucifixion, they would release one man and let him go free. The Jews cried, crucify, 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 and hand us Barabbas. Can I say today, dear sir, that you and I are just like Barabbas, deserving death, standing beside a man who does not deserve death, yet the crowd cries, crucify, crucify, crucify the Christ, and we're allowed to go free because Christ went on to the cross of Calvary. We're coming to a place today, I hope you realize, where it is life and death. It is sinner and saved. Understand today that in coming to this place, no matter how numb you've grown, no matter how much you don't have tears over it anymore, the cross is still good to hear about. I love to hear about the cross of Christ. As I go through my life, I love to hear more about the cross of Christ. And I pray that when I'm on my dying bed, I'd hear more of the cross of Christ. We come to a place when they, in verse number 33, it says, and when they were come to Calvary, come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. We find Christ is hung between two criminals of the day, two men deserving of death. We find one on the right hand and one on the left. And we know the story that one of them looked and said, Father, remember me when thou goest into thy kingdom. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But I want you to realize today that we've got an innocent Christ hung between the heavens and between the earth, between two criminals. And the Bible tells us that there they crucified him. What does that mean? We look at crucifixion, and I want you to understand that crucifixion was one of the most violent deaths that a man could die. The Romans had crucifixion figured out. They knew what they were doing. We see that Christ was crucified. And I want to say today, dear sir, that it was you and I that deserved to be crucified, that this man was innocent indeed, and we deserve crucifixion. We go on, it says, verse number 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. I'm interested today in the fact that we find the very Son of God in a moment in which he could have called a band of 10,000 angels to destroy the world. We find the Son of God in which a place where he could have called an end to the entirety of what we know, but rather than speaking and saying, Father, would you put an end to this thing? I'm done doing what I'm doing. We find the very Son of God hanging upon a cross, making one plea for all of mankind. He says, Father, forgive them. And I am glad today that Christ has cried on my behalf, dear sir. When I could not cry for myself, when I couldn't do it myself, I'm glad that Christ was on a cross crying, Father, would you please forgive them of the wrong they're doing? I'm glad today to be saved. saved. I'm glad to know that Christ has paid my atonement. I'm glad to know that Christ has paid the sacrifice. I'm glad to know that I'm going to heaven through the bloodshed of the cross of Calvary and through nothing good that I've done. I'd encourage you today, if you're here and lost and undone in sin, I'd encourage you to turn your eyes to a cross of Calvary. Look unto a pardoning God who has cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that Christ was telling us man is purely ignorant of the things they do. Can I tell you something today? We're ignorant. It's tough to swallow, but we truly are ignorant men. But here's what I know. Christ has cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He cried on the behalf of ignorant men and said, would you please find an avenue? Would you please forgive them today? And I'm glad to say that Christ has paid the punishment. Christ has paid the price for you to be forgiven. To be forgiven is to have nothing on your account. I believe today it is to stand before the mightiest of magistrates in all of the land and to be said, be told you're good to go free. I sure am glad today that I'm going free because of the cross of Calvary. I'm going free because of the bloodshed of Calvary. I'm glad of that today. That's all I've got. We'll turn it back over to our pastor.
Amen. Thank the Lord for the message and thank the Lord for the cross of Christ. We want to get a song and we ask everybody to stand. And I want to say this as we're getting ready to sing. If you're here today and there's a spiritual need in your life, I want to ask you, be willing. You know that scripture that I read earlier, come boldly to the throne of grace and you can have help. You can get grace in a time of trouble. If you're here today and you're lost and you need to get saved, come to the altar. I could say it this way. This is put in my words. Come boldly to the cross of Calvary. Where it says come boldly to the throne of grace, mean the same thing. Come boldly to the cross of Calvary. You got to come by Calvary to get to heaven. That's just what Cooper's preached this morning. I want you to pray. Listen, if you're here today and you've been saved and you haven't been following God like you should, if you're willing to come and bow at the altar today and repent and rededicate your life, do that while we're singing this morning. Obey the Lord. Let God have His way in your life. Please obey the Lord this morning. Let God have His way. Come boldly. Trust the Lord. Don't hold back. Think about the cross of Calvary. That's what He's preached. He preached God gave His only Son to willingly die on the cross of Calvary to save a wretch like me. Jesus, and Cooper preached this. Jesus didn't deserve it for Himself. He did it for us. We deserved it, but He did it so we wouldn't have to. Jesus died on a cross so I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Are you willing to trust Him today? Obey the Lord. Trust the Lord. Obey the Lord. Nothing but the blood. Jesus said, I am the way. We hear that over and over again. It's worth saying over and over again. He's the only one. He's the only way to heaven. Praise God. He's available to everybody. Obey the Lord. That song. I just wonder today sometimes, and I've been in this spot when I was lost. Sometimes I'd sit back when God was calling, and I imagine the folks around me and the preacher, and I bet they wonder, why is he waiting? And I just tell you, I don't know why I was waiting, but it was a bad idea. People don't need to wait when God's calling. People need to come. And I keep going back to that verse that's on my heart earlier, and it ties right in with what Cooper's preached. Come boldly. When God calls you, come to Him. If there's something out of place in your life, if you need to come and pray, even if you don't want to say anything when you get up, you're welcome to go back to your seat. But if you need to come and pray and talk to God about it and get things fixed up between you and the Lord, God can fix things that you cannot fix. God can help things that you cannot help. But God, He doesn't force Himself on people. He calls you, and it's up to you to come. And he invites us. It's up to us to come. Sing one more song. Obey the Lord. Amen. Okay, come pray with Ava. Somebody else might need to come. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Let God have His way in your life. Let God help you. Trust the Lord this morning. Obey the Master. Yeah. Amen. Help Him, Lord. Where could I go? No place to go but Him. But He's enough. That's a big enough place to go, and it's available. Obey the Lord.
I love everyone.
Help us, God. Anyone else need to come? You're welcome. Any place else to go. You can have Him. He's available. Appreciate the message and appreciate these moves. Appreciate God calling. Anything else on anybody's heart to say or do? If not, be seated for a little bit. We'll have some announcements. If you've got announcements to make, we'll let you do that. I want to make an announcement about Danny Maggs' funeral and visitation. His family asked to have the visitation here at the church house Monday evening from 4 until 8. And so Danny's visitation will be here from 4 to 8 Monday. Now, his funeral is going to be Tuesday here at 10 o'clock. And we will be having a funeral dinner for him following the burial. And so Sister Karen said she'd be here at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall receiving food dishes that folks would prepare. It's been asked that we'd prepare two dishes each to bring to that, because it's going to be a pretty good crowd of folks probably. So two dishes each, if you could, bring them. And you can bring them as early as 9 o'clock Tuesday. Sister Karen will be in the fellowship hall. So once again, just to state those times, Monday, visitation for Brother Danny from 4 to 8 here at the church house. And Tuesday at 10 o'clock is when his funeral.